Welcome to Where is God's Word with your host, Bruce Musselman, brought to you by the Mattaway Country Baptist Church of Aurora, Ohio. Bruce combines over 40 years of experience as a pastor, Bible teacher, and author. This program addresses topics surrounding the authority and inerrancy of the Bible. Here now with this week's edition of Where is God's Word is Bruce Musselman.
Well, welcome to the program today, and I'm not Bruce Musselman. Bruce Musselman is just getting over something. He was feeling a bit under the weather, and so he asked me to slip in and take his place today. A lot of times I help him out from the sidelines, helping with some things, but my name is Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church located in Richfield, Ohio, and I got a couple of programs I work with on the radio station here. We've got our program Live with Pastor Al that's here every Friday afternoon at 1:30 till 2 o'clock, and then again on Sunday nights at 11 o'clock until midnight. And so invite you to give us a try, give us a listen there on Friday afternoon at 1:30, and Sunday nights at 11 till midnight for Live with Pastor Al. And then, of course, I try to help Bruce with some various things with his program. And one of those things is I help put together his website. And you can find his website at whereisgodsword.com. That's whereisgodsword.com. And if you go there, you can find out more about Bruce Musselman. You can find out more about his program. And you can also listen to some past programs all there at whereisgodsword.com. And so I encourage you to check that out, some of the various reference materials that Bruce mentions from time to time. There's some links to those books that are there, books and materials, and some articles as well. And then also you can read Bruce's booklet that he put together some years ago that's entitled Correcting the King James Bible, kind of when he started on this journey looking into the question of the Bible translations in the English language and asking the question, where is God's Word? And then, of course, there's some other materials there. There's some things of Bruce singing and some things of Bruce preaching, and also something that you can do if you're so interested is there's a Bible and Prophecy series that Bruce has put together. It's a 6-CD set that is available. The information for ordering that is there online, and it covers Christ and the Antichrist in prophecy, Antichrist government in prophecy, Roman Catholic Church in prophecy, Israel in prophecy, King James Bible in prophecy, Christ and Israel in prophecy, and you could go to whereisgodsword.com, and you can learn a little bit more about some of those things and find out how you can obtain that series that Bruce has available, and that funds from that will help support his program. So again, my name is Pastor Al Davis, and you can find out more about me at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And so I'd love to have you join us on our program as well tomorrow at 1:30, and also Sunday night, Friday at 1:30 until 2, and then Sunday night at 11 o'clock until midnight. Well, we're going to look at something here today, and Bruce likes to talk about the history of the Bible, and he's kind of a walking encyclopedia when it comes to such things. And I cannot spit out the dates and the names and everything like Bruce can. He's very gifted in that area there. But I do like to look at some things, some practical things. And one of the things that we covered in our Friday night Bible study, and we have a Bible study at our church every Friday night. It's kind of an open Bible study. We meet at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express located in Richfield, Ohio at 5171 Brecksville Road at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. And during the course of our Bible study, we covered a number of things. And not too long ago, I think about a month or so ago, we were looking at a particular passage in Daniel chapter 3, and I wanted to go back to this. I was looking at some different things, and I did some more reading on this, and I think it's rather interesting, some of the things that are mentioned here. And in Daniel chapter 3, this is the chapter of Daniel where Nebuchadnezzar constructs a giant image made. And it says in Daniel 3, verse 1, Nebuchadnezzar the king made an image of gold whose height was 60 cubits and the breadth thereof 6 cubits, and he set up in the plain of Dur in the province of Babylon. Now, remember Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, he's the one that sacked Jerusalem, destroyed the temple, destroyed the city, and he carried off the people from Judah and Jerusalem into captivity. And he was doing that because God allowed him to. Remember, God referred to this pagan king at one point as his servant. And this was because the Jewish people had rejected God. They'd turned to false idols. And the pastors and the priests of the day were not upholding the word of God. And they were turned to false idols. The princes and the judges and the rulers, again, not governing according to God's word. Instead, they were following after false gods and after money and greed and all manner of sin. And the people themselves, the Bible says, loved to have it so. So Nebuchadnezzar had brought back to Babylon a number of things and a number of people. And amongst them, he had four individuals, one of which was Daniel, which this book, of course, here to the book of Daniel is attributed to. But he also had three others, and he had named them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These are their Babylonian names that were given to them. And they here in Daniel chapter 3, Nebuchadnezzar, in his pride, he had set up this giant image of gold. And he made the decree that in Daniel chapter 3, verse 4, a herald cried to you as command, O people, nations, and languages, that at what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, sackbut, or harp, sackbut, psaltery, dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king hath set up. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth shall the same hour be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, this is kind of a picture of what the Antichrist is going to be doing and the false prophet are going to be doing during the middle of the tribulation. You can see that in Revelation chapter 13, where there's an image made, and people have to fall down and worship that image and receive the mark of the beast. So this is kind of a picture of that. And the punishment here was to be cast into a burning fiery furnace. In Revelation, the punishment is to have your head chopped off. But in this particular setting here in Daniel chapter 3, this is set up, and when the music sounded, the people all fell down and worshiped. Now, Daniel was not present here in Babylon at the time. It's believed that he was on perhaps a diplomatic mission or something. He was out of the area, so he doesn't figure into this account. But the Bible says here in Daniel 3, verse 8, wherefore at that time, certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to the king Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hath made a decree that every man that hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, these are the three friends of Daniel that they prayed when Nebuchadnezzar was going to kill the wise men, because he had the dream where he had an image with the head of gold and the arm and chest of silver and so forth. And they prayed, and God sent the answer to Daniel, and then Nebuchadnezzar elevated them to a position of authority, positions, I should say, of authority over the affairs of the province of Babylon. And there was a certain amount of jealousy amongst the Chaldeans over these Hebrews that were elevated into these positions when they were nothing more than slaves. And so they were looking for a way to destroy them to destroy these godly young men. And so they said, O king, these men, O king, here in Daniel 3, verse 12, these men, O king, have not regarded thee. They have not, they serve not thy gods. Now, this is important here when you see the setup here. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they brought these men before the king. And then it goes on to show the confrontation between Nebuchadnezzar and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego here. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I have set up? And he gives them another opportunity to fall down and when they hear the music play in worship, to escape the fiery furnace. But in verse 16, it says, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God. Now notice, the Chaldeans and Nebuchadnezzar are talking about gods. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, if it so be our God, whom we serve, is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. So they're talking about their God in contrast with the Babylonian and King Nebuchadnezzar's gods. Now, Nebuchadnezzar heard the testimony of these Hebrew children before in the previous chapter when Daniel gave the explanation and interpretation of his dream of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. It says in chapter 2, verse 46, then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer him an oblation and sweet odors unto him. The king answered unto Daniel and said, Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldst reveal this secret. So he's heard the Hebrews talking about their God, but he's still in this mindset that he's one of many gods. He's a powerful one, but he's one of many. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego say, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us. They also say here in Daniel 3:18, but if not, be it known, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Well, Nebuchadnezzar gets angry. He commands the furnace to be heated up seven times more than what it's normally heated. And then he commands Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego to be tied up and thrown into the furnace. And so it says in verse 21, then these men were bound in their coats and their hose and their hats and their other garments and were cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. Now, some people have tried to say that the furnace, you know, because it was a large affair, it had some cool spots in it, and they fell down into a cool spot where it was warm, but it wasn't sufficient to kill them or to cause great harm to them, and so they survived. Now, that's just plain foolishness to interpret it that way, but and here's why. It says, therefore, in verse 22, because the king's commandment was urgent and the furnace exceeding hot, the flame of the fire slew those men that took up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, here it is. They fell into a cool spot of the furnace, but the furnace was so hot that it killed the people that threw them in. Well, it would have killed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego as well. So we know that God is protecting these men. They had said that their God could protect them. And Nebuchadnezzar heard that. Now, Nebuchadnezzar still has not recognized Jehovah God as the one true God, as the only God. And he still believes in a multitude of gods. And so Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into the furnace. The people that throw them in are killed by the heat. And it says in verse 23, and these men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, fell down bound in the midst of the fiery, burning fiery furnace. Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. Now look what God is going to do here for Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar has seen the fire killed the men that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the furnace. He knows that they were tied up. now as the furnace is dying down enough that Nebuchadnezzar can look in to see what's happened. And keep in mind, this furnace was so hot, this wasn't a minute or two later, with Shadrach and Meshach huddled in a relatively cool spot of the furnace. They've been in there for a while. We don't know how much time took place, but the furnace had to cool down that Nebuchadnezzar could approach the mouth of the furnace where the people that threw Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in had been killed by the heat of the fire. And when he looks in there, he says to his counselors, "Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire?" And they said unto the king, "True, O king." And here's verse 25, and this is what I'm working to, and this is why it's important when we look at the Bible that we read, and this is what Bruce Musselman tries to get across with the idea of the program, where is God's word? The Bible says here in Daniel chapter 3 in verse 25, in the King James Version, he answered and said, "Lo, I see four men loose. They're no longer bound. The flames that killed the men throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had either burnt off the bindings or they had been loosed by the other figure in the fire that Nebuchadnezzar sees." He says, "I see four men loose." Remember, they threw in three. He said, "Didn't we throw three in?" He said, "I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt." You know, that's just like what Isaiah had said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2. He says, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee, and through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. And when thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." And then he says this, "And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God," with a capital S. Now, that's what it is in the King James Version of the Bible. Now, let me read that verse here. This is the New International Version of the Bible. We can tell Bruce that I had the New International Version of the Bible on his program. And it says this, "Look, I see four men walking around in the fire, unbound and unharmed, and the fourth looks like a son of the gods," with a small S and a small G. Now, that's a little different, isn't it, than what it says in the King James, where it says the fourth is like the Son of God with a capital S and a capital G. Now, here's what I want to say about this. This is important. It's either the Son of God or it's a son of the gods. Now, some versions also say a son of God with a small s, you know, like the angels are referred to as sons of God, just like we as believers, we become sons of God with a small s. But the King James translators carefully put a capital S here and a capital G. They want us to know that the word for God here was signifying the Jewish God, the God of the Bible, the creator of heaven and earth, the only true God. And they wanted us also to know that the fourth man there was like the Son of God, not just a mere mortal, not just an angel of the Lord, but God, the second person of the Trinity, the Godhead, God the Son, had appeared just like he said in Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2, "When thou passest through the waters, I will be with thee." He says, "When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee." Why? Because God would be with him, is what he was telling Isaiah there. And God, in a human form, appeared in the furnace. Now, I was reading some things on this, and this is what I wanted to mention here. Some people have said, well, this is a mistranslation in the King James. There's even some people who are King James followers, use only the King James, or their position is it's the Textus Receptus, which the King James is based on in the New Testament, of course, in the Hebrew Masoretic in the Old Testament. And they say the problem comes in here that this portion of the scripture is in Aramaic. And because it's in Aramaic, it's not clear whether it's God or gods. In other words, we know when we refer to God, the same word referring to God sometimes can refer singular or plural. And we use different words to delineate whether something is singular or plural. We do that in the English language. For instance, if I said, I see three deer outside in the field, I've used a modifier, the number three, to let you know that the word deer is a plural term. But if I said, I see one deer out in the field, I've used a modifier in the number one that signifies that the deer, that I'm using the word deer as a singular word. And they're trying to say that this is not present here. And so that the correct translation really should be son of the gods. And then also the capital S here isn't warranted is what some will say. And it should be a small s. Because this is not saying that God was there in the fire with them, that God was preserving them. And besides, and this is the statement that they like to use as well, Nebuchadnezzar was a pagan king. Why would he look into the furnace and say, look, he looks like the Son of God, meaning, a theophany or a pre-incarnate version of Christ, appearance of Christ? Why would he think that it's the God of the Bible, the God of the Hebrews? Because he was a pagan king, and he wouldn't recognize him. Well, how about this, maybe? He had just had a dream where these Hebrew children who proclaimed their allegiance to the one true God, said that the one true God gave them the interpretation, gave Daniel the interpretation of the dream, and they stood up and gave testimony of their faith in the one true God. Or how about right here in this instance right here, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, under threat of death, said in verse 17 there again, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. And then they said in verse 18, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods. You see what they're doing? They're specifically making a distinction between the one God whom they served and the false gods of Babylon and King Nebuchadnezzar. And so with that witness going into this, I believe that this is why when King Nebuchadnezzar looked in there and he said, didn't we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? And his counselor said, true, O king. And he answered there in verse 25, where he said, lo, I see four men loose walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt, and the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. Now, if it's going to be ambiguous, and it could go either way, I think the context clearly indicates Nebuchadnezzar had an eye-opening experience here. He saw the hand of the God of the Hebrews delivering him, and he had heard the witness of Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, Abednego prior to this. He had heard about their God. He had heard about their prophecies, most likely, of a coming Messiah. And so, as a consequence, when the King James translators were looking at this, and they had the decision to make, should we say a son, little son of God with a capital G, or a son, little son of the gods, plural, with a small g, what should we do here? A son, how should we put this? They had to look at this, and they understood that the context here indicates that there was a battle between the one true God and the false gods, plural. And the resolution of this conflict, when God protects Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, shows that it was correctly translated by the King James translators. Now, let me add this, and we're quickly running out of time here. When this comes down to the end here, and everybody looks and sees how God had delivered them, in verse 28, this is what I think seals that one God is meant here, and the Son of God, as in the second person of the Godhead. It says in verse 28, then Nebuchadnezzar spake and said, blessed be the God, not gods, the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and delivered his servants that trusted in him and have changed the king's word and yielded their body that they should might not serve or worship any god except their own God. And he goes on to recognize that this God, there's something about him. Later on, Nebuchadnezzar comes to the realization that this is the only true God. Well, thanks for listening today. I hope you enjoyed the study, and join us next week. God bless.
You have been listening to Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman. If you enjoyed today's program and would like to receive a free brochure that lists 100 references where the name of Jesus has been omitted from modern versions, we invite you to drop us an email at sos1611@gmail.com. That's sos1611@gmail.com. Where is God's Word is sponsored by the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, located at 12385 Chamberlain Road near Aurora, Ohio. Pastor Murray Bay and the congregation cordially invite you to worship with them. Sunday morning services are held at 10 and 11 a.m. For directions or more information, please call 330-562-6600. That's 330-562-6600. Or write to the Mantoway Country Baptist Church, 12385 Chamberlain Road, Aurora, Ohio, 44202. Tune in again next week at this same time for another edition of Where is God's Word with Bruce Musselman.